to Jurassic Park.
The triumphant return of the Untitled Movie Podcast from the music that just played. We apologize. Well, actually, I don't apologize. Sorry, not sorry. Chris Whetton, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's been two weeks. Feels like a long time.
There's a lot of movie news that comes out in 2 weeks.
It really does, and unfortunately, we have other things that we were committed to, namely sleep and work, and so that was the
masturbation.
Yes, lots and lots of copious whacking it and jacking it for the citizens of San Diego. But we are the Untitled Movie Podcast, exclusively on morelikeradio.com. We are Mark Nixon and Chris White, and we're here to talk about movies. If you like our opinion, great. If you don't, too fucking bad. Get your own podcast and record your own shit, and we'll make fun of you, and we'll sit and have a beer afterwards. And so, let's get right to it, because we've got, again, like Chris said, we've got a ton of shit to talk about, mainly because of the fact that, you know, a lot of stuff can go on in a week, and we've got 2 weeks worth of things to go on, and so, most currently, you did not see The Jungle Book.
I didn't see The Jungle Book. My kids went and saw The Jungle Book.
Okay, let's then take the reviews from your children who are four and five. What do they think?
They loved it. They loved it. The movie made a shit ton of money, $100 million, something like that.
103.6.
Apparently, everyone that sees it loves it. It's got what, like a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, my 4-year-old and my 5-year-old were both nuts about it. Like, they were, I came home the next morning because I worked nights, and they're talking. That my daughter is singing the "Trust in Me" song from Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, do they actually sing all the songs from the original?
I think that there are some nods to the songs. Okay. Like so there's little pieces of it, and like that song, for instance, I think she does sing some of it. It's tough to talk about because, like I said, you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, but yeah, they're nuts about it. And from what I understand, there's lots of nods to the music from the 67 movie.
Nice.
In a respectful way, you know, like, yeah, people are just crazy about it. Like, and the movie was a smash hit.
Yeah, apparently it was the, they had a expectation it was going to make $70, $80 million. It ended up making $103.6 million, which is the seventh biggest non-sequel debut of all time.
Right. It's crazy.
Which would be... Let's see, of course I'm losing it right now. It is right behind, because I was looking at this beforehand, Spider-Man, Man of Steel, Alice in Wonderland, Deadpool, which came out, obviously, this past spring, the first Hunger Games. Does the Avengers count? Is that a sequel? It wouldn't be a sequel.
Even the other ones you were saying, like Spider-Man and Alice in Wonderland, okay, they're not sequels, but they're, you know, new versions of properties that have existed for a long time. You know? Which Jungle Book is, too.
Right.
So I think Avengers is kind of a sequel, to be honest. More of a sequel than any of those other movies you just named.
Yeah, but then there's, like, all of the parts coming together, and it's not really... I mean, if it's a sequel for... You know, Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, then I guess, sure, why not? But, I mean, going all ticky-tack. You know, it's really interesting to me is that all the things that I follow on Facebook and Twitter involving different movie news and trivia and all that sort of thing, everything's always got to be the biggest non-this, da-da-da-da-da, all that of all time, of April, of this particular spot.
You can cross-cut it so that everything has its own little badge of honor, you know?
Yeah, and I would be very interested in knowing how The Jungle Book did, all things considered, because it was not only shown in IMAX, it was also shown in 3D, which I heard the 3D is... spot on, probably one of the best uses of 3D that...
Right, since Avatar, that's what everyone's saying, some of the best 3D. And the movie was not filmed in 3D, it was converted.
Oh.
But everyone says, well, I don't say everyone, but many of the reviews I've read say that it looks as though it was filmed in 3D. The conversion has come a long way, we all know that.
Right.
But the Jon Favreau, which, by the way, hats off to Jon Favreau, you know? Yeah. Like, who would have thought, like, with Swingers back in 96 or whatever, that this guy would go on to make Iron Man and, well, first of all, he made, you know, Zathura and Elf. Elf is, like, a cult classic, yeah. You know? A comedy cult classic. He went and made Iron Man. Now he's making, like, a family movie that is, by all accounts, tremendous.
Right.
So hats off to Jon Favreau. And coming back from having lost the Iron Man 3 job, you know, then he goes off and makes a little movie like Chef, which people love.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back and makes this, like, totally out of left field. So I really, really admire the guy.
Jon Favreau also directed Made, which is one of the more yes. underrated comedies that...
Better than Swingers, in my book.
I think so, too, especially with him and Vince Vaughn kind of playing off of each other. And
yes, and Made, also one of the movies that the commentary might be better than the movie itself.
I've never heard the commentary. The movie itself
is one of my favorites,
yeah.
And it has a commentary that's just Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau, and it's as good as it gets, because they have the John Madden pen that they can draw on the screen.
The telecommute. I know what you're talking
about.
That's
not the only reason it's great. It's funny in and of itself, but that adds an extra something.
Oh, my gosh. And there's a lot of people in that, too. Isn't Puff Daddy, P. Diddy?
In it. Yeah, Peter Falk was in it. Tons and tons of people.
Sam Rockwell's in it, too, right?
Sam Rockwell is in it. Good call. Yeah, he is a little guy that works at the hotel that brings them the fishbowl.
Yeah, and Faison Love, who has one of the favorite lines, 645.
645,
motherfucker. Yeah.
You ain't got no snifters up in this motherfucker?
We've had snifters.
Act like I'm going to break your motherfucking snifter. Yeah, but back to Jungle Book. Like, yeah. The 3D, by all accounts, is as good as it has been since Avatar. My kids didn't see it in 3D. They're a little too young. They, you know, little kids, they don't like the glasses. They keep taking them off and stuff. It's maddening to watch a movie in 3D with little kids as they keep taking the glasses off.
Right.
But, yeah, everybody seems to think it's amazing.
I'm sure your kids are well-behaved, though. I mean, they're not going to, you know, scream or, or anything, that sort of thing.
Well,
so.
I beat them mercilessly, so...
Well, because you're a good parent, and you are not leaving bruises. That's
not where anyone can see them.
Well, of course not, of course not. And, you know, truth be told, Disney's finally figured it out. Now that we've gotten into a point where they can just remake all of their old staples, you know, this movie, they're going to be coming out with Pete's Dragon, and apparently there was the first picture from that.
Yeah, in Entertainment Weekly, they had the picture of, I assume the dragon's name is still Elliot.
I would hope so. I mean, I know that you were very, very careful to say, listen, they better have the whatever the song is called.
Azamaquati.
Okay, there you go. They either have that song, get the fuck out if they don't.
Again, I don't even think this one is a musical. It may be, I'm not sure. I don't know that much about this. This one's been pretty well under wraps until this picture just surfaced. And I think, like, Robert Redford is in this thing playing Lampy and stuff like that.
You know?
I mean, it's got, like... pretty good cast. I'm interested to pick, you know, like, I'm not, I have fond memories of Pete's Dragon, but by no means am I going to get all upset about the picture of the dragon because it doesn't look how I want to.
Right,
because
it has fur instead of scales.
It's got fur, it doesn't have scales, it doesn't have the hair, the original Elliot had like a pink,
mop top. Yeah.
And it also had like pink spikes, but this one just looks more like a furry, friendly dragon. Still got the big jaw, still got the big nostrils.
Right.
And obviously still can only be seen by Pete, that's the whole point of the movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised I didn't hear anything about this movie either, because my friends Dia and Nick are huge, huge Disney fans, and they usually talk about everything. Oh my gosh, the new Cinderella's coming out with Richard Madden and his huge hog, you know, and little tights and all this stuff, and Emma Watson's going to be in blah, 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 but that was the first thing for me, but...
Yeah, I think Bryce Dallas Howard is going to be, the lead Pete's adopted mom.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, Disney's got it on lockdown now with all the technological advances. Hey, just remake everything. It's a printing press. But getting back to your kids and how you mercilessly beat them.
Yes.
They're not old enough to own a cell phone.
No, they're not. They actually own our old cell phones. We take the batteries out and we give them to them. They walk around and play with them. They even have long, drawn-out conversations on them.
Yeah. Right, but let's say, for example, if they were old enough to own a cell phone and they went to the movies with you and they took out their cell phone and started texting, what would you do as a responsible parent? As a responsible moviegoer that just happens to be the parent of these children.
Yeah, I take a pretty hard line on this, and I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
You know, for me, even if the movie's bad... I don't take my movie out, I don't take my phone out. Like, I never text during the movie. I don't check the time. I don't, answer a phone. Certainly don't answer a phone call. My phone can't get calls because I put it into airplane mode. I don't even want it to vibrate in my pocket. And that's not just for the other audience, it's for me. It's going to take me out of the movie.
Right. Well, apparently it had come to a head where AMC, our former employer, decided it was going to be a good idea to reach out to the kids, to the millennials, and they had considered initially to allow texting in movie theaters, which I don't know how they would do it, where they just partition all the texting kids off, or not even texting kids. It's not just limited to kids. It's also, right, you know, to adults and everything.
But that's where they were going with this.
Yeah, because apparently there's, you know, you just can't leave the fucking phone alone for 2 hours, right, 3 hours without, you know, having to text, you know, like, oh, you see you later, or this movie sucks, you know, all the other shit. To the point where everyone got so, again, as the internet is wont to do, in an uproar, that the CEO of AMC put out a formalized letter the following day saying, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
We apologize for even bringing that up in the first place. But goddamn it, you know what? I'm going to sound like an old man right now, Chris. I'm going to get on my goddamn get off my lawn pulpit, and I'm glad that I grew up when I did, because cell phones really didn't have the ability to check anything other than, hey, I'm going to beat the snake game, or I'm going to, you know, text like Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon doing The Departed. You just can't, you know, you can't update shit on Facebook and all this sort of thing. Meanwhile, you know, if you don't want to watch the fucking movie, then step the fuck out and go get a refund. Or if you really need to take that important call or text, then maybe you should get the fuck out of the actual hall.
I agree 100%. But I do think a lot of this has to do with the movies that are being made. You know, I mean, these are movies, like, you take something like, again, we're going to talk about this every single show, but like Batman versus Superman. And I'm just using it as an example because it's a movie like this that's in the eye right now. Yeah. But you could take out your phone, you could text during that movie and get back to it. You could send a 7-minute long text and then go back to it. You're not going to be lost, you know? I mean, this is how millennials do. And I'm like on the cusp of a millennial myself. But, you know, I mean, they multitask. They're doing the phone, they're playing a video game, they're listening to a album, they're watching TV all at the same time.
Right.
And they want to do this in the movie theater. Well, fuck you. No, you can't do it in the movie theater.
Well, no, but okay, look. And I agree. I know exactly what you're saying. I completely understand. But when they are listening to the album and playing video games and they've got the television, they're here by themselves.
Or
they're not surrounded by 200-300 people that are just going to the movies to watch the movie that they paid for.
Right.
Good money for it, I might add. Not $7 or $8 anymore. It's now $16, $17 per person, especially if you're watching IMAX and 3D and all the bullshit. Yeah. I still can't believe that it even got to that point from AMC Theaters, former employers of both yourself and I, that...
Well, I can believe it, because theaters... No, I don't agree with it. I'm just saying I can understand it. I understand that they're trying to get people into the theaters, because we do have on-demand now. We do have our phones, we do have our tablets, we do have wireless everywhere.
Yeah.
You can watch new movies pretty much anywhere. I mean, you can see video on-demand stuff, and if you don't even want to see video on-demand stuff, you can see the stuff that is not on demand. You can find it on the internet. I'm not condoning that. I'm just saying theaters are battling that. They're trying to find ways to get people into the theaters. And the people they want the most is, you know, the young people, because that's where the money is, you know,
right,
and that's where the numbers are. And they don't go to the movies by themselves. They go in packs of 10, 12 kids. So
right,
I get it. But it brings up something, you know, I mean, the theaters, they need to get with the times in some ways, and they need to still respect, you know, the sanctity of, like you say, everyone sitting in a theater, everyone paid money. So figure out what's not working, and that ain't it, because nobody wants to sit in a movie theater and watch someone texting. However, some movie theaters are starting to get smart. They're serving better food. They're serving alcohol.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I mean, our theater here in town, for instance, no alcohol.
Well, not the Cobb. Now, the other one, the Cinemark, does serve alcohol.
That's true. On the far side of town.
Yes.
Far side from us.
Yes.
Why not? What's the problem with it? Like, what's the problem with having... I understand what the problem is. We all do. People could be overserved. People could get drunk. People could get rowdy.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, and I think for a lot of people, that's something that'll get me to the movies, maybe. You know, I mean, I sound like an alcoholic, but you want to get me to your fucking movie theater? You need to serve alcohol.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that you can give people that they do have at their home, you know? People like to sit at their home and have a drink, and, you know, feel comfortable. So they need to find those ways to make the seats better, let people have alcohol. But the texting thing, no, I'm sorry. That's just a bridge too far.
Yeah, I don't know. I would spend the extra, you know, I mean, I already spend $8, $9 going to the beer stand to get a beer at a Bucks game or right. an Orlando City game, so I'll totally buy a beer to watch, you know, your shitty movie or the movie that I'm going to enjoy.
Exactly.
I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, but the reaction from the entire world, I think, tells us that most people feel the same way we do.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You guys are so super smart. Super, super smart. So we appreciate all the sentiments and support. Now, let's get to trailers that had come out in the past 2 weeks, and one of the ones that I don't think it's probably going to be a very popular one, or at least financially lucrative, but it seemed very interesting to me because we hadn't seen him in a very long time, is Bloodfather, which is with Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
And, God, what was the last movie that he was in? Get the Gringo?
Yeah, Get the Gringo, but that was kind of a video on demand, straight to Netflix kind of thing, I think. I don't know, was that even in theaters? If it was, it was in like a handful of theaters, not really.
Yeah.
Know, a very small release.
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it looked good. I mean, I thought it was another... I think the last big movie he made in the theater was it called Edge of Reason? Where he's, like, chasing after his kidnapped daughter or something like that. It was, like, similar type thing.
I mean, kind of that, in that vein. And then there was the really weird one that was directed by Jodie Foster,
The Beaver.
Yeah, where he was, you know, talking out of a puppet beaver. Yeah, puppet
right.
beaver. And this kind of goes into what what our friend Jason Cicciola had wanted to talk about, not necessarily in regards to movies or the actual, series of movies, you know, sequels and franchises and all that sort of thing. But obviously we know that Mel Gibson is no longer the box office pull that he used to be.
Right.
Because he called a female cop sugar tits.
Sugar
and because tits. His
right.
dad has condoned the Jews and the Holocaust never existed.
Right.
And he
denies the Holocaust, yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of an overall bad guy to the point where Ricky Gervais was even making fun of him on national television during the last Golden Globes.
There was also the taped calls, but you know, phone
oh,
call
God.
With his estranged wife or whatever.
Yes,
which made bizarre sexual stuff in there and a little bit aggressive and possibly abusive.
Well, definitely abusive, number one, made for great tabloid fanfare on, you know, TMZ, Howard
right.
Stern, sound bites, et cetera, et cetera.
And all this stuff happened within like 2 years and it was just a career killer.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, not entirely because he's got a movie coming out. And I even checked in this movie, Bloodfather, is actually being directed by some French director that has done one thing that maybe... be known by somebody else. I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But getting to the real question that, again, Jason Cicciola had suggested, and I'll kind of alternate to go with Mel Gibson, is that knowing what you know now about Mel Gibson and what a terrible person he is, does it tarnish the legacy of the movies that he has either directed or have been in before? Where do you see... You look at The Road Warrior, you look at Lethal Weapon, you look at Mad Max, you look at Payback, which I know that you like as much as I do.
Yeah.
Does it kind of alter, like, I don't like it as much as I used to because I know he's kind of a dirtbag?
No, for me it doesn't. For me what it is I still love Lethal Weapon. I still can watch it. I still love the Mad Max movies. I still will watch them, you know. But as you're watching it, it kind of seeps into your mind. So it doesn't ruin the movie,
right.
but you can't help but think about those things. And honestly, with Mel Gibson, I don't think about it as much. Maybe because, you know, he seems like he hurt himself more than he hurt anybody else. I think probably
right.
his wife, you know, he was abusive to her, although we don't have any evidence. You know, we never saw any pictures of that. I don't think she ever even made claims. She just basically said that he was verbally abusive to her and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not, that's terrible. But
no, of course.
If you talk about somebody like Roman Polanski, then it really starts seeping into your mind.
And that was where I was kind of going, where if we were to have had the podcast last week, I was going to talk about other actors, other directors, other people in the movie, just
right.
the movie business, not the music business, but the movie business, where Roman Polanski, for example, was found guilty of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old
oh, yeah.
girl, and he ended up moving
to
France.
He was indicted, like, he fled town before he could be arrested, you know, before he could be thrown in jail, basically.
And all of that stuff happened in Jack Nicholson's house?
It was in Jack Nicholson's house, yes.
Holy shit.
He basically, you know, I mean, of course, everyone knows that his wife was killed by the Manson family and so forth, and that all is very tragic, and feel sorry for him that. Well, cut to 10 years later or whatever it was, and 13-year-old girl, he... you know, lures her with her mom's consent to his house, well, Jack Nicholson's house, to take some pictures.
Yeah.
Photo shoot. Photo shoot turns into, like, some alcohol and some drugs. Jesus. And, you know, like, fondling and sex and so forth. And basically, like, you know, like, rape this girl.
Yeah.
Like, statutory rape and rape. Like, just everything, yeah. You know? Angelica Houston was banging on the door trying to get in the room because she knew something wrong was going in there.
Right.
So, yeah. Roman Polanski, brilliant filmmaker. Hard for me to watch his movies now and not think about it. And again, he's get a little bit of a plus because you don't see Roman Polanski on screen. So you can actually still watch Rosemary's Baby and you might forget about that. But then you start thinking, holy shit, Rosemary's Baby is so fucking good. Who made... Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's kind of switch it up where you do see him on screen. Mm-hmm. He is very talented, but he's also done... reputably awful crap. Woody Allen.
Yeah. And this is a tough one for me because I grew up watching Woody Allen's movies. I think he's a brilliant writer.
Right.
But...
Well, and kind of explain in the 5-second version as far as why is Woody Allen...
Why is he a dirtbag?
Yeah.
Well, basically he and Mia Farrow adopted children.
Okay.
And, you know, he essentially... Not essentially. He literally married one of those adopted children. And I don't think she was his adopted children. I think she was Mia Farrow's adopted child, but we're talking semantics, because he was there in the house as a father figure. And
he started as a father figure. He was established as the father figure.
He was established as a father figure to this girl. Soon-Yi Previn is her name, I think.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, developed a relationship. At what age, who knows, but definitely is a little bit shady.
Yeah.
He was, you know, an older man at the time. He must have been 50 at least, if not older, and she was a child.
Yeah.
In their defense, they are still married. However, you could probably claim a little Stockholm Syndrome or something, you know, certainly that, you know, it's not a healthy relationship. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So when
Woody Allen, it's hard to watch his movies and
because you like Woody Allen movies.
I love Woody Allen movies. I love them. Yeah. But I will recognize, and it's just like I was talking about with Mel Gibson.
Right.
Roman Polanski, I feel like, is in a whole other category by himself.
Yeah.
You know, like this guy, like, probably should be being raped himself in prison somewhere. Then Woody Allen is a half a rung below him.
Right.
And it's hard for me because I love Woody Allen's movies, but yeah, that. Is really, really tough not to think about when you're watching a Woody Allen movie.
Well, especially if you've got the plot, the characters that are chosen, and usually, correct me if I'm wrong, it's usually a very, very pretty, very young actress, and they're dating or they're romantically involved with somebody twice their age.
Yes. Very, very frequently. Almost always when it is Woody Allen who is in the movie, which is much less often these days. But going way back to his earliest films, or some of his earliest films, like Manhattan, for instance, I mean, the girl is, you know, young, very, very young, and he is not. And, and that was before the whole Soon-Yi Previn thing. So this has been a theme that has been going throughout his career, throughout his life, it would seem. So you got to start wondering, like, is this guy more of a creep even than we know?
Yeah. So do you think that you would be able to kind of stomach the dirtbag qualities of Mel Gibson if he wasn't in front of the camera anymore? He was behind it. He was just directing, because again,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Apocalypto is really good.
And again, compared to Polanski and Woody Allen, you know, he basically, I mean, he comes off like Doris Day. Like, Mel Gibson doesn't look so bad at all compared to those two. Like, that's what I was sort of kind of half defending him earlier.
Right.
Like, it was a little verbal abuse and he got drunk and called somebody sugar tits. Like, that ain't as bad as raping a 13-year-old Nicholson's king-size bed.
Oh, my God. Like,
I mean, I hate to laugh about it. It's not funny.
But, no, I got it.
And I think that's why the public still sort of roots for Mel Gibson. You know what I mean? Like, he shows up as the villain in The Expendables 3, and it's a moment that you can sort of savor, because we still kind of like Mel Gibson. I think we all feel like, hey, he got drunk, he married a chick he probably shouldn't have married, and he treated her bad, and, you know, like, Mel, come on, get it together.
Yeah,
Roman Polanski we're done with. Yeah. I'm done with Roman Polanski.
All right. Well, how about we move on to another trailer that came out where let me just ask you off the bat, what did you think of the new trailer for Doctor Strange?
I thought it was a little weird that they didn't show Doctor Strange in his Doctor Strange clothes. Did they?
They showed him... I don't know the comics or any of that sort of thing. I think they showed him at the very end when he's walking up the steps because he had the cape flowing and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, they did. You're right. You sort of see him in silhouette.
Yeah, and...
That was my first reaction to it. However, I thought it looked decent.
Yeah, it's got, like, the whole Inception feel and, you know, it's all otherworldly and Tilda Swinton's in there doing her Tilda Swinton weird thing, so...
Hard not to think about Inception when you see some of the effects they're doing there with the architecture and, like...
Yeah, but again, it's a teaser trailer, so it's 2 minutes long, but there's going to be one that comes out later on. I thought it was interesting. I'll watch it.
Right.
I don't even know who's directing it. I guess it doesn't matter because, again, we're...
Scott Derrickson, perhaps?
Sounds...
I will tell you that I like Benedict Cum Bubble Bitch Slap or whatever his name is. Can you tell how much I like him?
Yeah, yeah.
The Imitation Game was a really, really good movie from a couple years ago. It was one of those Oscar movies that I was like,
no, I saw that.
And I watched it, and I was like, holy shit, this fucking movie's great.
Yeah.
And I like him very, very much. So I think it's cool. It looks like a cool... I know it's a cool story. I mean, Doctor Strange, basically the story is he's a hand surgeon, and he gets into an accident, and he can't use his hands anymore, and he starts, you know... delving into this mystic stuff and becomes a sorcerer, essentially.
Holy shit, you know more than I do then, because I didn't even know that backstory. I just saw, I'm just guising from, like, okay, well, clearly he's, you know, on a quest, on to walk the path as Cain from Kung Fu is wont to do from, Jules and Pulp Fiction, all that sort of thing, but...
Right, Kung Fu. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the story of Doctor Strange, and the nerds out there, I'm sure, will correct us on the things we're wrong about, but that's basically the story, and he is, you know, he will fit nicely into that Marvel universe, because he's a human guy who sort of develops powers through, you know, this sort of mystic world.
Yeah. I didn't really know much about him, aside from the parody of Doctor Strange, which is Dr. Morpheus from the Venture Brothers. I don't know if you ever watched the Venture Brothers, but yeah.
Yes.
So that kind of piqued my interest. It was a good trailer, but as you kind of mentioned before, you know, where the nerds were losing all their collective shit, let's just get into the main trailer that came out last week, which was Star Wars Rogue One.
Right.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it looked awesome. I mean, I thought everything about the way the trailer was put together, and this is kind of, maybe it's the difference between knowing a project, knowing Star Wars, and not knowing Doctor Strange, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a really great preview, too.
Right.
But Rogue One is like sent like tingles down my spine, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but they only released a trailer, maybe two, for their movies, and each and every single time, they fucking nail it every goddamn time.
Right.
Like clockwork.
Well, they're lucky because they do have, like, things to pull from, you know, things you know. Like, you get to see the Death Star, and you get to see the redheaded chick who we all remember from, you know, the first movie, but nobody knows her name except the nerds. Sorry, nerds. And eventually we will see Darth Vader, because he will be in this movie, it was announced. I mean, the internet...
Oh, really?
Yeah, Darth Vader will be a part of this thing.
Right.
And it's unclear who is going to play him and who is going to be doing the voice and stuff, but we're, and I think probably a lot of people didn't know this, and I kind of knew it, but the trailer really like made me aware of it, that this is not a Star Wars movie that's taking place in the same time as The Force Awakens.
No.
This is taking place
before A New Hope.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, before A New Hope and sort of during A New Hope, right?
Okay.
Because
because they have to get the plans in order to get the Death Star. To have the ability to blow up the Death Star.
Right.
I know
Luke
that much.
At the end of the first movie, or the fourth movie, what the fuck? Fuck you, George Lucas. He blows up the Death Star. We only knew how to do that because they had the plans. This is the story of how they got the plans.
Right.
And she says in the movie, many Bothans died to get these plans or something like that. So this is that story.
Gotcha. And it's got who? Felicity Jones.
Felicity Jones.
Ben Mendelsohn, who's a really good actor.
Yep. A lot of character actors that you're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Donnie Yen's in it.
Yep.
The Spanish guy, what the hell is his name?
From Y Tu Mamá También.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy. Diego Rivera Luna.
Diego Luna. Yeah, he's in it. And it's directed by the guy that directed the last Godzilla remake, the reboot, Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards, yeah.
Did you see Godzilla? That?
I did, yeah. Liked it. I liked it too. It was like, it took a while to get to become a Godzilla movie, but I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. Better than the Roland Emmerich movie, for sure.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, with
Matthew Broderick.
Jimmy Page, Puff Daddy. Oh, God. Cashmere.
The part where he's like, I'll fucking bite you. Oh my God!
The only good thing that came out of that whole thing was when they did the MTV video movie awards, and they had the parody where it was, I can't remember who was hosting. I think it was Jimmy Fallon, and he's riding in a cab with Samuel L. Jackson. They just keep jumping over Godzilla's foot, like every 4 or 5 blocks, and there's explosions behind him and all that other shit.
Yeah, so, it was terrible.
So you're saying that they don't know who's going to play Darth Vader? It's not going to be Hayden Christensen?
I think that... No. I mean, this is going to be Darth Vader. So I doubt it will be Hayden Christensen inside the suit. You know what I mean?
It could be anybody.
It could be anybody. You know what I mean? Like, so it's going to be very much, I guess, like A New Hope, which is they'll have, you know, they had David Prowse in the suit, and he was doing lines on set. And I do think that they have announced the guy's name. As a matter of fact, I think... I could be wrong about this, but I think he was on Game of Thrones. I think he was one of the first guys that played the Mountain.
Oh, shit.
Big honking dude. So they'll have a guy on set, and then I assume they will get James Earl Jones or someone who sounds like him, you know, or synthesize his voice. But he will be involved in the movie.
Okay. Because while we're on the topic of Star Wars casting, apparently the new Han Solo movie, which will be the second... backstory movie that comes out after Rogue One will be played by
then we get episode 2, you're saying,
and correct,
or excuse me, episode 8. God damn you, George Lucas,
son of a bitch. Yeah, right. So episode 8 will happen after Rogue One, which will be 2017, and then
cranking these things out every year.
They should
banking. Holy shit!
They can see money, man.
Is Disney taking over the fucking world? Like, they've got the Marvel movies, they got the Jungle Book movie we're talking about, they got the Star Wars movies, they got Indiana Jones, don't they?
Yeah, and
holy shit!
Okay, look, and we
fucking $100 a ticket to get in the goddamn park.
And we talked about this on the
should be free at this point. It should be like a public garden.
The very first podcast that is not in existence. And not posted because our sound was like all off whack.
It's like the Game of Thrones pilot.
Exactly. But when fucking George Lucas was complaining about the fact that, you know, oh, they're taking all these liberties and it sucks, Force Awakens sucks, he got $2 billion from that fucking deal. You know what? Sorry, dude, but you also have $2 billion that you can play with. Go.
Take your $2 billion and go make something else, twat beard.
Yeah, like, God. Go fund Edutopia. But Han Solo, the Han Solo movie. Standalone movie, which is going to be directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who are friends with Maria and Royce from the Hippo Juice show, which will be coming up next at around 7 o'clock on morelikeradio.com. Alden Ehrenreich, who was the cowboy lasso trick guy from the Hail Caesar movie that was directed by the Coen brothers that just came out this year. He's going to be Han Solo.
Right. He just won the pussy lottery. This fucking kid, he's like not even thinking about like the blaster or the costume or Chewbacca. This kid just won the fucking pussy lottery.
Yeah, like, and I've never even heard of this guy, but you've heard of him now. You're going to be hearing about him for a long time because
you are. My God, his name's going to be moaned throughout the galaxy.
Alden!
Jesus.
Ehrenreich!
Christ. Yeah, he was in Stoker, which is a movie that I liked very much. But, yeah, this is really exciting. Probably the most interesting of all of the projects that are out there for a couple of different reasons for me. Because, number one, Han Solo is iconic. And it's not like Darth Vader being in Rogue One, because that's going to be the same suit. It's going to be it's going to look exactly like Darth Vader, and I'm betting that it will sound exactly like Darth Vader.
Okay.
This is an iconic character, and we were kind of talking about this last week, I think, that they are completely redoing. They're completely taking that character and recasting it and going to tell an origin story.
Yeah.
And if you take, you know, the top 25 iconic movie characters of all time, Han Solo might be up there. Like, I think...
Why?
Why? I think it's a lot of... you know, when the prequels came out in 99 and 2003 and all that kind of stuff, a lot of the fanboys pointed to the fact that there is not a Han Solo type character in those movies. And for many people, that's kind of why they don't work.
Okay.
There's no sort of, you know, what does Princess Leia call him, you know? Like
Nerf herder?
Yeah, like lovable nerf herder. Like there's no, you know, scruffy looking nerf herder. Like there's no, he is a hero. He is also dark. He's got kind of a dark side, no pun intended, to him.
Okay.
But he's also comic relief.
Okay.
He sort of like encompasses all those things in the original trilogy. He is every fanboy's favorite character. It's funny because Luke is the main character of the story.
Okay.
He's nobody's favorite character.
Right.
Han Solo's everybody's favorite.
He's an everyman.
He is an everyman.
He just happens to be in space.
Right. And he's a smuggler. He's got a cool job. You know, he's like, I don't want to help you. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck it. I'll be the hero of the galaxy. Right. And he is, you know.
I'm just making this shit up as I go along.
I know. Yeah. He seems to be just improvising. And everybody else is using the lightsaber. And he's like, fuck it. You know, ancient weapons and hokey religions are no match for a good blaster at your side. You know, like, and he doesn't. He doesn't use the lightsaber, you know. Like, only he's just the blaster. He's got a fucking sidekick that's a fucking Wookiee, man. Like, he's cool as shit. The princess wants to bang him. Luke Skywalker wants to be him. Darth Vader freezes him in carbonite.
Yeah.
Like, he is as cool a character as you can get. Plus, this kid has to play him.
Plus, it also doesn't hurt that you, until fairly recently, you know, like both you and I have talked about on podcasts before, that it's played by a very charismatic, very very good-looking actor in Harrison Ford from the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Exactly. So. It was the right actor for the right role at the right time. I mean, it was, and it became iconic, you know? Like, certainly for our generation and even, you know, the generation sort of right before us, like, Star Wars is everything. Like, as a kid, if you ask, you know, 10 kids in 1988, like, what the coolest movie ever made was, probably 9 out of 10 of them are going to say Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. And I would venture to ask or to wonder, as far as movies post-Star Wars that came out that had any sort of space theme, and they had the different archetypes. They had the damsel in distress, they had the alien, they had space pirate, space cowboy, smuggler guy. That, and every single, I guarantee you, every single movie tried to, like,
100%.
We got to do a Han Solo clone.
100%. Yeah.
Somebody, anybody. Or even like television shows like Firefly or Serenity, the movie that came out after the fact. So.
Right, you know, and it's like you said, they are archetypes, and he, you know, he personified that archetype better than it had ever been done before or after, probably, in movies, that is, maybe, you know, certain, not in literature, but in movies, it's hard to do better than Han Solo, and this kid has to play him.
Yeah.
So I'm sure eventually we'll get to see some audition tapes and things like that, because this has been going on for months. We've been hearing, like, the name get whittled down of who's going to be playing, you know, James Franco, or not James Franco, but Dave Franco, his brother, and several others, all sort of vying for this role.
God, I'm kind of surprised they didn't ask Chris Pratt.
They may have. We don't know. I mean, I think they kind of wanted someone, like, relatively unknown.
Right.
I think that's a smart move, like, definitely, especially because if you're trying to deal with some character like Han Solo and a known actor like Chris Pratt, it's going to be very, very difficult to swallow that.
Yeah, and I also think that Chris Pratt kind of suffered for his own success, because had it not been for Guardians of the Galaxy and Star-Lord, which is, in essence, a very, very good Han Solo play, 100%. And then also he hit with Jurassic World, which no one, I didn't predict it.
Nobody thought that movie was going to be like it was.
No, so, but every single time there had been any sort of talk in regards to Han Solo, his name was brought up. Anytime there was any sort of talk in regards to Indiana Jones being rebooted, he was also brought up, because he's very smarmy, he's, you know, God damn it, I'll do the job and save the world.
Yeah,
fine.
He does have a Harrison Ford type quality, and I mean that in the highest compliment, you know, like, I like Chris Pratt very, very much.
Yeah.
But the Han Solo movie, to me, is as exciting for all the Star Wars reasons as it is for the Phil Lord, Chris Miller part of it, which is, you know, I mean, these guys are comedy guys. Like, it's true that they made the 21 Jump Street movie, and it's fucking hysterical, both of them. But they also made the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
They also made The Last Man on Earth.
Yes,
these are all essentially comedies. And that is what is so important about the Han Solo character, you know? I mean, he's funny. Yeah. He's really, really funny. Like, practically every line he has in the movie is, like, you know, shitting on somebody, like, making fun of somebody, or, like, trying to, like, weasel his way out of some situation he's got him in. Like, when he's on the mic talking to the guards, he's like, everything's fine down here, situation normal. we're fine, we're all fine. How are you? We had a slight weapons malfunction.
Oh my God.
No, I mean, he's funny. So they got the best angle on this already by getting two funny, funny guys to make this movie. So I'm glad about that. And they've proved they can do action with 21 Jump Street
and 22 Jump Street.
And the Lego Movie, really fucking funny and exciting. Like, you know, I mean, my kids watch that movie over and over and over again.
My only hope is, again... All I know is that if it is going to be directed by those guys, then they have to include a dolphin noise.
That's their thing, right?
Yeah, they had one in every single one, and so I implore Chris Miller and Phil Lord to do that. But since you mentioned 21 and 22 Jump Street, you do realize that they're also going to be coming out with a crossover.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Men in Black and 21 Jump Street, as it had been announced at CinemaCon 2016, that it was going to be MIB 23.
Right. I wonder if they're going to be involved in that?
They are not directing. Apparently, James Bobbin, I have no idea who that is, but he's going to be directing, and so...
Interesting.
You
know, it's one of those things, it all depends. If you got Channing Tatum and you got Jonah Hill, and certainly if you had, you know, Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith, I don't know the angle they're going with this whole thing. Is it going to be all new guys? Is it going to be those four names I just mentioned?
Yeah.
I have no idea. There's a lot of in and outs, a lot of what have yous to be decided. I'm not against it. Like, it certainly feels, you know... We talk all the time about sequels and remakes and reboots and prequels and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, why not mashups? Like, let's get into it. Like, if we're going to get into it, let's get into it and see what we can do. I mean, we've already kind of done it a couple times with Freddy versus Jason, Alien versus Predator, and Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, well.
Neither of those other two I just named were terribly good either.
Right.
So maybe it can be done. We just haven't seen it yet, you know?
Do you remember what your original opinion was of... Hey, they're going to make a movie about 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was stupid.
Okay.
That was my
thing, too. And then
I had
20...
no idea what they were doing. Like,
right.
I thought they were going to make... I mean, that show was, like, heavy, like, almost, like, afternoon special drama type shit.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it wasn't funny.
Right.
And it certainly wasn't laugh-out-loud funny.
Right.
You know?
So then when it did come out, and then they announced 22 Jump Street, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm...
Fucking A.
Yeah, I'm gonna I'm looking forward to this.
I'm in.
Yeah, and I guess that was kind of along the angle of, because The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he's making Baywatch.
Right. Right.
Baywatch being a very terrible, almost schmaltzy, after-school special theme show, and this is supposed to be like a raunchy, R-rated comedy that's coming out next summer.
Right.
So I'm hoping for that. But speaking of sequels that people, you know, obviously are very excited about, the Han Solo movie and the Star Wars and everything else, did you like Avatar when it came out?
Loved it.
Well, guess what? They're going to come out with four more of these fucking things, because James Cameron just announced a fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Avatar. So you've got Avatar 2, Christmas 2018.
Avatar 1 come out? Like 2008? Something like that?
Eight or nine.
Good God.
Yeah, Avatar 3 in 2020. Avatar 4, 2022. Avatar 5, 2023.
Look.
Well, let's...
Just make Avatar 2. And I'm not saying stop at Avatar 2.
Yeah.
But stop fucking announcing more movies and theme parks and rides and shit. Like,
Oh, the ride, too. They're making the ride.
Just the fucking ride. It's like a whole
park.
Portion of Animal Kingdom, which is bizarre because these are not real animals. You know what I mean?
Well, not with that attitude, Chris.
Just make the movie. Yeah. I love James Cameron. James Cameron doesn't get enough credit. You know, like, he doesn't get enough credit as a filmmaker, and it's weird to say that, because he's got the two biggest fucking movies of all time, are both James Cameron movies. But when you talk about a guy who has never made an unsuccessful movie, and as a matter of fact, he's never made a bad movie. Like, I mean, he you could say he got fired off Piranha 2, I think, was, like, his first movie,
that
got fired from that. What's he go make? He goes and he makes The Terminator.
Yeah.
What's he follow that with? Aliens.
Yeah.
And he follows that with The Abyss. Then he follows that with Terminator 2. Then he follows that with True Lies. Yeah. Then he follows that with Titanic. And then he follows that with Avatar.
Yeah.
That's, what did I just name? 8 fucking movies? All of them, like, huge financial successes. Many of them, literally classics.
Yeah, ahead of their time technologically as far as filmmaking advancements and all
absolutely
that.
Absolutely ahead of their time. Like, I mean, you talk about, like, everybody gives credit to Jurassic Park for CGI.
Yeah.
No, you gotta go back to The Abyss. I mean, you can go back to the Young Sherlock Holmes adventures, too. But, like, The Abyss is really where they looked at it and said, I think we can do something else here.
Right.
This guy doesn't make bad movies, and he doesn't make unsuccessful movies. Like, no one has ever had a streak like this of movies. Now, it's true, he waits 9 fucking years before he makes one. And that's kind of why I wish he would go and make something like, as much as I liked Avatar, I think everyone sort of agrees that the movie is fine. The experience was amazing.
How many times did you see it?
Twice, probably. Twice. I think twice.
I saw it 4 fucking times.
Jesus Christ,
man. I think I was trying to get laid.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you must have been. You know, trying to fuck some blue chick.
Like, a 7.5-foot blue chick, yes.
Wait, how many times did you see Dark Knight? Did you
Six.
Say? Six.
Yeah.
Jeez, and you saw this 4. Well, it was an experience, though. I mean, everyone who enjoyed it says, like, because 3D at the time was a joke. I mean, it was like Jaws 3 and the aforementioned Piranha 2 and things like that. Like, 3D was like, nobody was making 3D movies.
Right, now everything's being released
now in 3D. Everything, and that's because of Avatar. Right. And they still haven't done it as well as Avatar, although, like we said, many people say Jungle Book is that good. But the way he used light and depth of field and perspective and stuff in that movie, I mean, it was quite an experience.
Yeah, Avatar came out in 2009.
2009, next one comes out in 2018, that's 9 years later. I hesitate to say that people might not give a fuck at that time, you know?
Well, I don't give a fuck now.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck now, exactly.
And I don't give a fuck for the second one, let alone 4 more of these fucking things.
And so when's the last one going to come out? When's
2023.
2023? Jesus Christ, James Cameron.
Okay, look, and my problem
is... How much story could there fucking possibly be to tell?
I don't know, but again, they're announced. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to come out, but...
Holy shit.
Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic, Avatar. You can't make a smaller movie. Hey, remember when Chris Nolan was doing the Batman movies, and then he came out with The Prestige, and then he came out with The Dark Knight, and then he came out with Inception, and then he came out with Dark Knight Rises. Why can't he do that?
Well, I wish he would make something else, but I wouldn't ever say that I want James Cameron to make a smaller movie, because I like the way James Cameron makes movies. Like, all those movies we just named are massive. Like, they're these massive, bigger, like, larger-than-life things. Yeah. But I take your point, which is, take a break. You know, go have the guys in your shop go work on the 9-foot-tall blue people.
Yeah.
And then you go make a prestige-type movie.
Yeah.
And then you come back, you know?
Well, shit, you don't even have to make it, like, a big, like, out-of-this-world, literally, out-of-this-world experience with all these, like, things. Make True Lies.
Exactly.
True Lies is a really fun movie.
It holds up like a motherfucker.
One of the best Schwarzenegger movies, in my opinion, that you can get. And it's right... in the midst of and before, like, all the xenophobia that deals with the Taliban and the Crimson Jihad and, like, all these things. But, I mean, it's handled in a way that's not completely offensive.
Right. No, it's not completely offensive. And, okay, these are the bad guys. They are Muslims.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's action. You know, like in terms of action comedies, like, I don't think... people were making action comedies quite like that at that point. Like, they were making action comedies like Lethal Weapon. Like, it's an action movie. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
This took the action and the comedy and ramped both of them up. Some of the comedy in True Lies is like borderline Three Stooges type stuff.
Tom Arnold, when he gets shot at and he's checking himself and he grabs
his balls.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I remember walking out of that movie and thinking... oh, Tom Arnold's going to be a big fucking star. Like, Tom Arnold fucking stole
Tom
this
movie. Arnold walked off the set. He's like, I'm going to be a big fucking star.
Holy shit. Like, I remember, like Tom Arnold was a joke, and not a good joke at the time. Like, he was a joke. He was Roseanne's, like, FedEx husband or whatever. And then this movie comes out, and he fucking steals the entire movie. And then, you know, I mean, it's got so many great lines, you know, like, it's like heavy parts at the end. Terrorists coming at Schwarzenegger is like, do you know what this is? Schwarzenegger with the comedy chops in this movie, like, he's like, yes, I know what this is. This is a snow cone machine. You know? He's got the great lines in this movie. It's Schwarzenegger had some comedy chops. He ironically showed him more in this movie than he did in things like Kindergarten Cop or Twins, you know?
Yeah. Now, let's talk about other sequels that people really didn't ask for, but we're getting anyway, apparently. Apparently, yeah. Warren Beatty is, quote, very serious, unquote, about a Dick Tracy sequel. Dick Tracy came out when? 1991?
Yeah, something 1990? Like that. 1990? Yeah. So we're talking 25 fucking years.
25 ago. Fucking years later, this 79-year-old actor, director, the Hollywood icon, wants to get back in the game and give us...
Yeah, okay. You know, I feel like his kids are in the room when he's saying this. It's like going, okay, Dad, all right. Sit down, Dad. All right. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, Warren. Come on. Get back over here.
And you like the Dick Tracy movie?
I love the Dick Tracy movie as a kid. Like, I had the action figures, and I saw it again, I think, just a couple years ago, and I thought it was still pretty fun movie. Al Pacino, one of Al Pacino's best performances. And I know that sounds weird, and people sort of forget that Al Pacino's even in the movie, but he's Big Boy Caprice, he's the bad guy, and he's, like, crazy Al Pacino in exactly the right role.
Yeah.
And everybody, there's a ton of really good actors in it. It's a fun movie.
Shit, even Madonna's good in it.
Madonna's great. It's got that's the other thing. It's got the great music. It's got all the great, incredible production design. And Warren Beatty's very good in it. But how's he going to do that? I mean, he's going to be, like, he's 79 now. You start shooting this thing tomorrow, he's going to be 81 when it comes out. You know, he's going to be 79 when he's filming it. How's that going to work? I don't understand. I hope he does. But Warren Beatty's been sort of threatening to make movies for a couple of years now. And he just hasn't been. I think Warren Beatty's probably going to retire, and we're probably never going to see this, unfortunately. I wish he'd made it in 1994, you know?
Sure. I mean, instead of casting himself as Dick Tracy, though, if he makes it now, he's going to cast himself as Wrinkles or whatever the hell the fucking gangster's called.
Yeah.
So there's that one, and then do you know the actor Alex Winter? He is 51 years old.
Of Lost Boys fame?
Of Lost Boys fame, and also Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure fame.
Marco? As in You Killed Marco?
Yes, as in You Killed Marco. Well, there's Bill and Ted 3 is coming out.
Yeah, this is like, we got to get Warren Beatty, Bill and Ted, and James Cameron in a room together and have a fucking intervention about them threatening to make movies. These fucking four guys, like, I feel like they're all sitting around a diner going, you know what I'm going to make?
There's too many yes men around.
Dick Tracy 2. Oh, yeah? You know what we're going to make? Bill and Ted 3. They've been, like, threatening to make these movies for years and years now. Now, this one I definitely would. All three of these movies, I would like to see fucking Avatar 2,
right.
Dick Tracy 2, right. And Bill and Ted 3. I would like to see all three of those movies. Make them.
Right, when they originally had like a 3 or 4 year buffer from the last movie that came out, not 20 motherfucking years later.
Haven't we learned, especially with comedies, in the last couple years, when you start talking about like things like, you couldn't get two funnier movies than Anchorman and Zoolander. You couldn't have two movies that I would have, like, wanted a sequel to more when they came out. So 2001 for Zoolander.
Yeah.
Make a sequel in 2003 or 2004, you know? For Anchorman, I think it was 2005. You make a sequel in 2007, 2008. You wait 10 years to make a sequel to a comedy, and I don't think it works. I don't think you can do that. You know, Mad Max is an anomaly, and it's a different kind of movie, and it's all different casting, you know? It's completely different, you know?
Well, it's kind of along the lines of Force Awakens and A New Hope. I mean, it's the same, but it's not the same.
It's the same, but it's not the same. You kind of got to catch it while it's hot, and I feel like with all three of these properties, Avatar might be different, because that is still an experience that people will probably want to have, and that movie has a lot of love. Baby boomers go nuts for that fucking movie.
What about, since we're talking about reboots and, the preciousness of striking while the iron is hot, since Captain America Civil War will be coming out in May, and Spider-Man was the big reveal at the very end of the trailer, Spider-Man Homecoming is going to be coming out.
What do you think of that title?
Sucks.
Can I
ask him to prom? Is that cool?
Of all the things that there is internet backlash for, why has there not been internet backlash about the title for Spider-Man? I don't give a fuck about a Spider-Man movie at all. No. I just think it's a dumb title.
I've never seen the ones with Andrew Garfield in them. I just don't care.
Yeah, I sort of saw them because, Cable, underpants, beer, you know,
like, cleaning, quote unquote.
Fuck it. Yeah. I'm watching this.
Right.
And they're good. They're good. I actually, if I'm going to go, if you tell me I got to go home tonight and I got to watch a Spider-Man movie,
right.
I'm picking one of those two over the Sam Raimi movies.
Really?
Yeah. I'm never nuts about any of those three movies. I know people jizz all over themselves about the second movie and say that it's, you know, one of the best comic book movies. And I do think the fight scenes between Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus are very good.
Yeah.
But the Tobey Maguire, I've never been nuts about him in that role. I didn't think he was right. Yeah. And I think it's just a little bit too schmaltzy and a little bit too, I don't know, there's a little bit too much drama.
Like, you don't like his farty face whenever he's holding onto the subway
car? Farty face? Like, I don't like his fucking farty face, and that's exactly what it is.
Now,
I know, but the Andrew Garfield movies, they're fun. I think Emma Stone in them, by the way, smoking hot.
Dude.
And again, good villains, you know, good actors playing the villains.
Yeah, hot redhead, I'm sold. Like, I'm making myself myself an argument to watch these movies.
I'm handing you a tissue right now.
Thank you. So, so along with this third reboot of this movie that's going to be coming out relatively soon, Michael Keaton's apparently going to be the villain in it.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, they're like continuing in the same line. They always get really good villains for these movies. They get Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina and who they get in some of the other ones?
What the fuck is his name?
Paul Giamatti and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, it's Rhino and Electra.
Church.
Yeah.
Topher Grace. Like, they always get good actors. And I gotta say, Michael Keaton gotta be the best out of all those names I just mentioned. I don't know, maybe Willem Dafoe gives him a run for his money. But I love me some Michael Keaton. And who's he playing? Is he got to play Vulture? That's kind of what people are probably thinking, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they've announced anything, but
That was speculation as far as...
It's kind of the only, like... Well, it's not the only, there's several others, but it's one of the major villains that we have not seen on screen, and, you know, he's part of the Sinister Six, and now they're going to be trying to reboot that whole thing. But the early reviews from Captain America, once again, early reviews, and so that's all fanboys seeing it.
Right.
But people are going nuts over this movie, and going nuts over Spider-Man in it. They're saying, like, he just steals the thing. As soon as he shows up, he's in it a lot more than you think he would be, is what they keep saying.
I've read that the airport scene is balls to the wall, super awesome. So I'll believe it when I see it, which I
will be
seeing.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I'll see it, and I hope I don't forget it immediately after, like I do with most action superhero movies.
Right. Now, it's not all news. I had seen a couple movies that aren't necessarily, you know, God, your kids are better movie reviewers than I am, Chris, because they literally watched the biggest movie that opened up this weekend.
I know. I wanted to see it with them, but my mom took them to see it.
But I took it upon myself to watch something a little bit more new and contemporary. As
What'd
opposed
you see?
I saw Mr. Right,
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick, Sam Rockwell movie that actually was released in 2015, but just got released on video on demand and in select theaters April 8th.
Love Sam Rockwell.
I do too. I'm guessing he's probably one of those actors or actresses, but mostly actors that I'll watch anything that he's in.
Absolutely. Sight unseen.
Yeah. So, and it was all right.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Anna Kendrick's been wronged by some man, and she's a hot mess, and then she ends up meeting this guy, Mr. Right. The aforementioned Sam Rockwell plays Mr. Right, who happens to be a hitman.
Yeah.
Hilarity ensues. And like Anna Kendrick's character in the movie's actually kind of a hot mess. I mean, there's kind of low production value, but there's a lot of people in it. Tim Roth's in it, the RZA's in it.
Sort of a premise that we've seen about 10 million times.
Time
right?
and time again, yeah.
This Means War, Night and Day, many, many, many others. It was sort of, you know, roughly the same kind of.
Yeah, and Anna Kendrick, she's attractive. I mean, she's all right. I mean, and
talk about hot redheads.
Right?
She's a hottie.
But
she makes a lot of movies that go direct to video on demand. What's up with that? I feel like if it's not Pitch Perfect, I feel like every other day I see a new movie with Anna Kendrick pop up on Amazon or Netflix or video on demand.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of it.
Where did Anna Kendrick start off? Didn't she start off on a show or something? Besides Pitch Perfect? I mean, Pitch Perfect, the movie, the franchise and everything.
There was Pitch Perfect. What was before Pitch Perfect? Anna Kendrick. Oh, you know what? She was in the Up in the Air movie with George Clooney. That's where we all heard about her. And she was fucking great in it,
good in that.
You know, Jason Reitman movie. She's like the sort of uptight little protege of George Clooney in that movie.
Holy shit, she was in the fucking Twilight movies. No wonder I've never seen her.
I've only seen pieces of those.
She was in Into the Woods. So the when the whole revival, motherfucker, she was in Scott Pilgrim. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, she was. That was after Up in the Air, but yes, she was in Scott Pilgrim.
And End of Watch, the Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Peña movie that is really, really good as well.
Good movie. Two fucking Twilight movies. Like, you could tell me that there was video footage of my own asshole in that movie, and I would still not watch it. Like, God. I made fun of them for years.
Yeah.
I never really seen them.
Yeah.
And then I sort of walked in one day, and my wife was watching them on cable with the kids. Fucking God forbid.
Uh-huh.
They're so much worse than I thought they were. Like, it's so much... Have you ever seen them?
I refuse to.
I refuse to, too.
Yeah.
They're so much worse than you think. Like, you really... We really probably should get together and have, like, a viewing party and watch one of these things.
God damn it.
No one actually likes them.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just saying... I watched about 5 minutes of it, and my jaw was agape at how bad everything about it, and not just the acting and the premise and the story and stuff like that, like literally the special effects. And I wasn't watching the first one, I was watching like a second or third one, I don't want to say watching, I was seeing a piece of for a second there, I was standing there, definitely had a beer in my hand, and I was going to go jerk off to porn or something like that, but I stopped for a minute to watch this.
Right.
And the special effects are like horrible, like they're like, you know, like... WB level special effects. They're fucking terrible.
Okay, see, now you're telling me this.
Yeah.
Hey, we should watch it to make fun of it.
Yeah, we'll, shit on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Guess who's trying to who's been trying to get hook me in under the guise of that.
Oh, you're kidding
for
me.
Years. No, of course not. Tina. No. Tina, my girlfriend. She's always, she loves the Twilight.
Oh,
movies.
Dude, my wife loves them too.
Fucking loves them.
Oh my god. And they're panty wetters.
And god damn it, collectively. Let's see. Take a guess as far as how much it's made.
What, the whole series?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's got to be over a billion.
3.4 billion.
$3.4 fucking billion.
On a budget of $385 million.
And that's just movies. We're not talking about the books, like
the posters, all the
God, the panties and shit. Like
the panties.
There's got to be panties. There's got to be Twilight panties out there. They probably sparkle and shit like that. Like, they come pre-wet. Like, I can't fucking watch these things. But I do feel like it's the kind of thing that you could get together and shit on and have a really good time. Because they're so much worse than you think.
Well, you know, again, I'm very reticent on never watching the Twilight movies.
Yeah.
You know what other, since we were talking about it earlier, you know what other movie that I've never seen and I refuse to see?
What?
Titanic.
You're shitting me.
I've never seen Titanic. And I worked in the movie theater with
you. We worked in the movie theater.
Right, and it was there for 18 months.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was in Theater 5 for the longest time before it finally moved into Theater 5.
Was the big theater. Yeah.
The Theater 4, then finally got, you know, sucked into Theater 1 and 2 in that back corner.
Right.
Never saw it once.
Now, this was also, by the way, back in the days when we still had... Like, they don't have midnight showings very much anymore. Like, movies stopped showing at, like, 10:30. And Titanic would start at, like, fucking 11:15 or something like that. And I remember sitting around waiting for that goddamn movie to end.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else was gone. Just, like... bow tie all undone, you know, like waiting for the fucking movie to file out so we can lock the doors.
Now, and that's not to say that I have not seen parts of it because, you know, you could, oh shit, it's 1:05 after. I'll just go in and watch the boat break apart or all that sort of thing. But I've never sat down and watched Titanic in its entirety.
It is a long movie.
Three and a half motherfucking hours. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, like, it is a good movie, no doubt. I have seen it. Probably twice, I think. Like, and the second time, I certainly was coming in and out, like I was watching it on cable.
Yeah.
But it is a good movie. Here's how it should have started. Iceberg! Like, that should have been the first line of the movie.
Right.
Because there is a love story, and the love story, what he did was smart, you know? Like, you can't just make a movie that starts with Iceberg.
Right.
You have to have a story, and he did a great one, you know? Like, very nice little love story. And Billy Zane's fucking great as, like, sort of, like... bad guy, like, who are you? Like, here, take a quarter, like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
But it's pretty tedious. Like, it's one of those movies you're like, am I going to watch Titanic? Nah, I'm not going to watch Titanic. It's way too fucking long. It's like Dances with Wolves. It's like, yeah, it's good. I'm not going to watch it again.
You know, it's like one of those interesting things where it's, you know, and again, I see the irony of it is that I've never seen Titanic before. Meanwhile, I've seen Avatar 4 fucking times in theater.
Exactly.
So.
And it's the same sort of sensibilities, you know, I mean, James Cameron has, you know, but if you compare it to all those other movies we talked about, True Lies, The Abyss, Terminator, you know, people getting their heads blown off, it does not contain any of that kind of stuff.
You know? Right, and it also brings me to a very funny joke that, you know, astrological signs, you know what astrological sign did not survive the Titanic?
Which one?
Leo.
So you don't get all the jokes about you know, they're always making jokes about like how there's room for him on that, you know, piece of wood that she was floating on. So
I know, you know,
you
I
sort
mean,
of understand.
I'm savvy about it. I know about it. I mean, right. I know about certain things enough to know about it, but I don't want to know like I want to be the...
Kate Winslet, topless, dude. Come on.
I've seen that part though.
Oh, all right. All right.
God bless the internet.
You're good then.
That's why you handed me the
that's right.
Tissue.
Here's another tissue.
Tissue a couple minutes ago. The other movie that I saw was Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Oh, Tina Fey.
Tina Fey, Margot Robbie, Martin Freeman, Alfred Molina.
Hey. Doc Ock.
Yeah, pretty good movie. I thought it was
it?
I thought it was good for the subject matter because it's very light. There are elements of romantic comedy in there, but it's about a reporter that gets sent over to Afghanistan and
right.
She's got to fish out of water story. She's got to adapt. She gets thrown into the fray. Margot Robbie's super hot, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already been there for an extended amount of time and kind of shows her the ropes, and slowly but surely she gets acclimated, and then there's serious parts and all that sort of thing. Tina Fey, she's one of those people, one of those artists that I can't see her doing wrong because she's
right.
She always makes funny movies, writes funny material, 30 Rock and Kimmy Schmidt and...
Right, even her sort of lesser stuff like Sisters and Baby Mama,
yeah.
If you watch it, there's some laughs in it, and you can appreciate her work. Like, comedically, like, she's talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're on a date with your beau, or, if, you know, if you want to watch it with your wife...
Yeah, I have a beau.
Highly recommended, because it's one of those movies that the girlfriend liked, and we went with our other friend Tatiana, and she liked it as well. And there's really hilarious parts in there too.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, also very very poignant parts too. The very last thing that I wanted to mention before we wrap up the Untitled Movie Podcast, which is exclusively on morelikeradio.com, and the Hippo Juice Show is coming up next, is that Chris, I finally fulfilled a dream of mine that has been 20 years in the making. And that is that I know that you know, but for the sake of other people that don't know, including our listeners, I am a master of ceremonies for a local burlesque troupe, a vaudeville cabaret troupe here in Lakeland, Florida, called Moxie La Femme. Moxie La Femme.
Yes, you are.
Which you can find on moxielafemme.com, MOXIELEFEMME. And we had a Netflix-themed show where we were doing different television shows and movies that you can find on Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. And one of my favorite movies, and I know it's one of your favorite movies, is The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
And I don't grow...
You said it, man.
Nobody fucks with the Jesus, and I finally was able to play the Jesus Quintana on as the MC for that show. It was fantastic.
You looked... And I don't know if we can throw some pictures up somewhere so everybody listening can see them, but
right.
You looked exactly fucking like him. Like, exactly fucking like him. And he, you know, John Turturro is, I don't know what John Turturro is, it's like Italian or whatever he is, but he's got like a dark, he's got like a look to him that does, he doesn't look like an Italian dude, he looks like he's got some type of brown in him, I don't know what. I don't know what type of brown it is, but that's what, and you are a Colombian man, so you've definitely got some type of brown in you. But you fucking looked exactly like him.
He's Italian-American.
Italian-American.
Yeah.
Okay. With a little touch of brown.
A little touch of brown.
Yeah, that's a great costume. You look just like him. And I can only assume you sounded just like him and did all the moves and everything. Did you have the bowling ball in the, you know?
That was in the second half. It was after our girls and
the
guys.
Of the bowling ball?
Yeah, because we've got a guy that's in our troop, Patrick, and he did the dude.
Yeah.
So we did the entire sequence, the dream sequence of gutter balls.
Right.
With
darkness washed over the dude.
Darker than
a black steers took us on
a moonless
prairie
night. There is no turning back. So
you have to use so many curse words.
What the fuck are you talking about? All right, dude, have it your way. So we do the gutter ball dream sequence with the Kenny Rogers song,
right.
And I bought a $50 bowling shirt for 3 seconds worth of use that said Saddam on it with a fucking burly mustache and a beret handing over a pair of shoes.
So you were Saddam also?
Oh, yes, I was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because you're brown.
Well, because they wanted me to be the dude, and I told them, no. No, I love it. I love this movie too much.
Patrick looks just like the dude. I mean, I can see him pulling it off. You know? I haven't seen pictures of it.
But. Yeah, and they had, all the girls had, like, little bowling pin headdresses and
headpieces.
And Tina, the girlfriend, she's also a performer, and she did Maude.
Right.
You know, playing the, with the golden trident.
Maude Lebowski.
Yeah, and she had the boob bowling ball brassier. And she ended up, you know, doing the swing with him with the bowling ball, and he went through all the girls' legs like he does in the movie, and bowling over, and then I come out with
the
Shining, and so and like little touches like that. In fact, right before we went on break, on intermission, and I told everyone that we're going on a 10-minute intermission. Wait, 10 minutes. What's this bullshit? What's this 10 minutes of shit? I don't fucking care. We were going to entertain you immediately after this. We're going to entertain you in 10 minutes instead. Woo! You got a date in 10 minutes, baby!
Were there a lot of Lebowski fans there? I mean, this was a movie that, like, nobody saw in the theater. Very few people.
Right.
And then since then, like, almost everyone you talk to is like, well, you say Lebowski, and they'll be like, yeah. Like, people sort of get it now, almost 20 years later.
Well, yeah, it's got its own, con now. It's got Lebowski Fest.
Yeah, it has for a long time. Like, I went to a little Lebowski trivia night one time.
Did you really?
In Atlanta, I won a fucking trophy. Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did. No, it's got a whole cult following, and actually, there's a really good documentary about Lebowski Fest, which is on Netflix. A documentary about, not about the movie,
right,
about the festival and all the costumes that people wear. There is no line from the movie, not only no character in the movie that people come dressed as, no line from the movie that people don't take and turn into a costume.
Oh, that's right.
Like, you know, the queen in her damned undies.
Yeah.
And people come as the queen in her damned undies and things like that. You
right.
know, all sorts of things like that.
Or when they have the movie and it's playing on regular cable and they can't
and they can't
use the curse words because
right.
there are so many dang curse words. I think it's actually on par with, you know, the Scorsese
Casino or something.
Yeah,
like that's up there, like the most uses of the word fuck.
Right. So this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass becomes this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. And then there's a guy that's dressed up
right.
as the stranger
right.
in the Alps because he's got this like cut out of a mountain
right,
right around him. And
so people don't even take lines from the movie. Now they're taking lines from the edited version.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so like meta. It's like a, you know, like Inception, Lebowski Inception.
Right, and then I've seen, what was the other interesting costume that I've seen from pictures and places from Lebowski Fest? Someone dressed up as a Creedence tape.
Yeah, I mean, the everything. But it is funny to watch it. It is one of those movies that's kind of, I've seen it 25 fucking times.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the movie.
Yeah.
I know lines from it, I could quote it from heart. But it is funny to watch the edited version on, you know, USA or TNT or something like that. You know, Walter, what the fruit are you talking about?
The fruit.
I say fruit a lot because, I mean, like, when you have the word fuck in your movie 197 times, like, you're going to have to come up with a lot of shit, no pun intended.
Yeah.
To,
let
like,
me tell you
replace
something, Palenco instead of Pendejo, because
right.
we don't want to offend the
yeah,
Spanish.
Yeah, you can't say Pendejo,
yeah.
even though, 98% of your viewers are not going to recognize that as a swear word.
But. Yeah, but now I own my own Jesus purple jumpsuit.
I may ask to borrow that.
You may borrow it. Any
yeah.
I have purple socks. I have a purple jumpsuit. I have a triangle net. I grew this fucking beard out, this goatee. I don't
yeah,
grow.
You still got it.
I don't grow facial hair for fun. I grow it for shows. I also have purple shoes because I've tried like mad to find just bowling shoes that I could spray paint purple. And
right.
I'll just buy some Saucony sneakers.
That
so
is like detailed shit, man. Like you probably could have like spray painted some low top Converse purple, and nobody would have said shit. Nobody
yeah,
would
be
like, hey man, what the fuck? Like those aren't bowling shoes, dude. I thought this was Moxie Flicks and Chill. What the fuck?
Right, right. So, but yeah, shameless plug for Moxie LaFemme because it's a troupe that I've been with for several years. I'm their master of ceremonies. You can actually find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. It's moxielafemme.com, and we're actually going to be having our encore show of Moxie Flicks and Chill. And so, if you happen to be in the Central Florida area, I would highly encourage you to go to Fresco Speakeasy on Saturday, May 14th, to come see us because it's really fun. I know that you don't have a Twitter account, Chris.
I don't. No. I don't tweet Twitter.
But if you wanted to send any questions, suggestions, differences of opinion to us, you can send it to either myself, which is Mark Nixon, which is Mark_Nixon_@Twitter, or my performer Twitter handle, which I guess is Ramcat Jackson, RAMCAT Jackson, like Michael Jackson, no relation. Anything you want to plug, Chris?
That's a loaded question. No, nothing I want to plug. I haven't seen anything new. I did see Inherent Vice. Did you see Inherent Vice, the P.T. Anderson movie?
Oh, my God. Oh, that was the one with Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix, Josh Brolin, Benicio del Toro, Reese Witherspoon. Huge cast. Yeah, Martin Short.
Yeah, I did.
Eric Roberts.
Man, when did that come out? 2012, 13?
No, this was like 2014. 14? Yeah.
Okay. Compared to the movie that he did before
The Master.
Right, which makes a hell of a lot more sense after you watch Going Clear, the documentary HBO.
It does. Still doesn't make it interesting, but it makes more sense.
Right, but Inherent Vice, I felt like I dropped acid because it was just way, and I know that you like the author that the movie is based off of.
No, I'm not a fan of Thomas Pynchon, but okay. I did read that book. And I was not a fan of the book. And okay. Maybe I'm just too dumb. I don't know. But I was also not a fan of the movie. Like, I just thought it was long and meandering and borderline fucking unwatchable.
I mean, I watched the whole thing. I remember certain parts of it. I remember Josh Brolin was really all about that popsicle, number one.
Right. Yeah.
I remember Joaquin Phoenix in some brothel, and he's just remind me of the premise. He's a
private detective, okay. Sort of a stoner private detective, okay. And you know, I think it's like Gordita Beach in the 60s or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's trying to find this ex-girlfriend of his that's, you know, sort of lost, and her lover that's kind of lost. Yeah, it's all over the fucking place. Like,
had you not seen it when it originally came out?
I didn't see it. No, okay. I never saw it. I never, you know, I was in the theaters for a sneeze, and then, you know, like, it came out to, you know, Blu-ray, and I never watched it, but it was on HBO the other night, so I watched it, okay. And holy shit. I only mention it because, number one, I feel like they were trying to do a Big Lebowski thing, you know? I feel like it was sort of, like, trying to tap into that same kind of vibe, and it failed miserably. Like, Big Lebowski is so perfect.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, Thomas Pynchon is obviously, like, you know, a famed writer. P.T. Anderson is, you know, largely considered one of the top five directors we have working today, probably, I would think, right? I mean, you know, between Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood and Heartache and, for me and many other people, Punch Drunk Love.
Magnolia.
And then I feel like the last two movies he made just haven't connected with audience. The Master, which you just mentioned, and Inherent Vice. You know, nobody really saw either one of them. Nobody was nuts about either one of them.
I think he got nominated for best adapted screenplay for Inherent Vice, or maybe it was director.
I think you're right. No, I think it was the screenplay, adapted screenplay. I think you're right. He did. And that, to me, is completely perplexing because, like, right. I mean, it's like totally, I mean, it's all straight from the book, and it's just, it's so meandering and all over the place. Like, to me, it was like unwatchable, really unwatchable.
I mean, is he one of the top five right now?
I think he is, but that's why I mention it, because it's like, at what point, how many of these kinds of movies that nobody is interested in can you make before people start, like, not considering you that way?
Yeah, and I only had the benefit of actually understanding the reasoning, the concept, the story behind the subject matter of The Master after watching Going Clear, which is way, way more interesting. You're absolutely right.
L. Ron Hubbard, yeah.
Yeah, and Scientology and how crazy all that is.
Sort of thinly veiled in that movie for the, you know, to, like, keep from having his ass suit off. You know?
Yeah, exactly, so that, you know, he's not having to deal with lawyers or any of that sort of thing.
I think P.T. Anderson is great. Like, I think he's a real talent, and also a writer-director. You know, I mean, the last two movies that we're just talking about were adapted. Inherent Vice was adapted from Thomas Pynchon's book of the same name, and then The Master, I think, was sort of adapted from a lot, you know, real life, essentially.
But, yeah, but, you know, as far as Inherent Vice, when it came out in 2014, I mean, we're already in 2016, the only other thing that he's done since then is a documentary called Junoon.
Right.
which is about the making of an album of the same name in India, which also had Johnny Greenwood, the guitarist from Radiohead,
attached to. Right, who does the scores for his movies frequently. Yeah.
But maybe he's got the same issue that maybe Jim Cameron has, where like he's like so vested in his vision, and I want to make these movies when he really should be making something a little bit more frequently, a little bit more popular.
Yeah, try to do something. You know, I mean, I think the guy's an artist, and like, you know, there's not a lot of people out there like him. I just want people like that to be successful. I want him to make something like Gone Girl, for instance. David Fincher, one of the other top five directors out there.
Yeah,
now, Gone Girl, he's one of your favorites. He's one of my favorites. I mean, I can't say enough about David Fincher.
Right.
And Gone Girl is not even one of my top five favorite David Fincher movies. I didn't even like it that much, to be perfectly honest with you, but I'm happy that David Fincher has success that way. I wish P.T. Anderson would go and do something like that, you know, like one for them, one for me kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. I mean, plus it'll give him opportunities to do whatever he wants. Like,
exactly.
He's, what's David Fincher doing? He's doing a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio about the guy that is, in essence, America's first notorious serial killer that ran a house of horrors.
Like a torture chamber.
Yeah, it was Chicago's World Fair in the early aughts, or the early teens in the 1900s and so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason I start talking about P.T. Anderson, because I wanted to have that kind of, you know, opportunity like David Fincher does. I mean, the guy's got every fucking opportunity in the world, but he's making movies that, you know, people are forgetting about.
Right.
Inherent Vice, The Master.
I don't know, maybe Maya Rudolph needs to smack some sense into him or something.
Yeah, she was also in the movie, by the way, Inherent Vice.
Oh, yeah. So, but on that note, we will not be doing a podcast next week, because you will be in Nebraska, I will be... tending to other obligations, but we will be returning back. Until that time, we appreciate your support. This is the Untitled Movie Podcast on morelikeradio.com. Chris Whetton, pleasure as always.
Likewise.
My name is Mark Nixon, and we hope you have a good 2 weeks. Take care.